only. There are only four bills on the agenda. Today we're not going to do 2058, 2065, or 3124. There's some conflict amendments that are being adopted. So if we're here for those bills, you can rest easy.
Right, who are the committee members?
We have four bills. House Bill 5104A, the Board of Nursing, is number one. That would be Senator Winters, I guess. Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, House Bill 5104A is the budget bill for the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and it's virtually identical to Senate Bill 5569A that was passed by the Senate on May 31st, 2005. I recommend House Bill 5104A be adopted out and passed, and it's in the House. Wants to add more?
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
You're the best.
House Bill 5129A, Department of Justice. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5129A is the House version of the budget bill for the Department of Justice. It is identical to Senate Bill 5577 that was passed by the Senate on June 13th, except for the $587,227 general fund reduction in services and supplies. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends adding back $316,823 of this House reduction to restore funding for the Defense of Criminal Convictions Program. I recommend House Bill 5129A be amended and reported out, due pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 359A relating to Oregon Advocacy Commission Office. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 359A with the -A3 amendments creates the Oregon Advocacy Commission's office and provides funding for its 0507 biennium operations. The office would provide administrative support to four advocacy commissions: the Commission on Asian Affairs, the Commission on Black Affairs, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, and the Commission for Women. These four advocacy commissions have not received any general funds since April of 2003, when support was withdrawn to help address the state's general fund shortfall. Since then, only the Commission for Women has been able to retain paid staff. The other three commissions have operated without budget, and the Commission for Women has operated on a reduced basis with part-time staff only. The subcommittee recommends amendments to Senate Bill 359 to provide $333,000 of general fund to finance the Oregon Advocacy Commission's office, which will provide staff and operational support to all four of the commissions. The budget supports a staff of two to assist the four commissions in their work. The budget directs the new office to develop and submit performance measures to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for approval. The four advocacy commissions are charged in statute with providing information on the impact of legislation and state programs on their respective constituencies, and with working to establish economic, social, legal, and political equality in Oregon. Senate Bill 359 will allow the commissions to renew their work and to provide the legislature, governor, and state agencies with important information on state policy and programs. Mr. Chair, your General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 359A be amended by the -A3 amendments and reported out, due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Senator Gordon, please.
Thank you. I don't want to miss an opportunity to say how important it is that this piece of legislation is in front of us. Our state government needs to be inclusive of the public policy interest of all Oregonians, and particularly those Oregonians who have historically been underserved and underrepresented in and by their state government. The defunding of the advocacy commissions last session sent a terrible message to many Oregon citizens, and I see this now as an opportunity to correct what was done, and it is about time. What we are saying here by passage of this measure, and I am going to assume that it's going to make its way through the entire body and wind up being signed into law, what we're saying here is that all Oregonians, all Oregon citizens, have their place at the public policy table in the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Very good. Very well said. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's one aspect of this, particularly relative to the Oregon Women's Commission, that I think is a little bit troubling. The Women's Commission was actually able to stay in operation both through fundraising efforts, staff taking lower and reduced salaries, and a number of other efforts. One of the casualties, though, may be, and I haven't heard anything in the last month on this, is we did have an AmeriCorps contract through the commission that provided about 27-28 FTE statewide that AmeriCorps paid for working on domestic violence issues, probably easily the equivalent, if it had to be done by a public agency, of several million dollars in expenditures. The last I heard of that is that they were planning to pull the contract from the Women's Commission, move it to DHS, but they were planning to pull out of DHS also.
Wow.
And that they were planning to cancel the contract. I have not heard anything in the last month, but it's kind of interesting that for a couple $100,000 potential saving, particularly in relation to the Women's Commission, we may have lost about 28 FTE working statewide. I know that there's been work done since that time trying to hold this contract with AmeriCorps, but I don't know what the current status is.
Thanks, Senator. Senator Johnson.
I might be able to share, and I would ask correction from Senator Morris, who also heard the testimony. While I think the good senator from Portland's, Tualatin's comments, Tigard's comments, are well taken, I don't think that the testimony we heard was quite as dire as you would let on in the or expressed in your comments. I think that the director, Ms. Farrington, has made heroic efforts to try to hang on to the AmeriCorps contract. I certainly got the impression from the testimony that the decision is far from made and that it's not quite as dire as you may have suggested. I know you're a member of the commission, so you may also have information that would be privy to the commission commission members, but we heard a slightly less doom and gloom presentation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin, yes, sir.
Yes, I'm referred to as the token male on the commission. Unfortunately, I have not been able to attend one of their most recent meetings because of business here in the Capitol. I do hope, and I know that they were working to try to find some way to retain the contract, but it was a way that I thought was a really good example of where relatively small dollars leveraged a relatively large program that was not funded with state dollars. And I think that AmeriCorps particularly liked the relationship with the Women's Commission, and to be honest, the overhead charges from the Women's Commission were much lower than they would be from any state agency that might want to manage some of the issues around their 27-28 FTE. But I'm just hoping that can be resolved. And I share Senator Gordley's concerns about the future of the commissions and knowing that many of these date back actually decades, and most of them back actually to Republican gubernatorial administration.
That's exactly correct.
You're absolutely correct.
Governor Attia back, Mr. Chair.
Yep. Very good. Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Next bill, Senate Bill 740. Now, 740, we're going to have fun with. You know, this can't be such a drudgery old legislative session.
Thank you.
This bill has been up, down, sideways, and all around. So you know what? We're going to have a good old-fashioned. I want to know how you personally feel about it. And we're going to vote on this bill today. And it will either succeed or it will fail. But there is absolutely, I hope that everyone just votes the way they feel is their own personal best public policy, and this is the way the process should work. There's no pressure here today. Anybody out there in real world land to vote any way, shape, or form. Every member is able to vote however they feel comfortable. I want everyone to feel that I will respect them in the morning. This is just fine. Not a problem.
There's no railroad here?
There is absolutely no harm, no foul.
Oh,
y'all have a good time.
Mr. Chair, you're full of it today.
So, Senate Bill 740. Discussion. Or let's have the.
Can I make a motion?
Now that I've set Senator Bates up, what would you like to do, Senator? Would you like to read the
pony? Well, first off, I'd say after this morning's session with the forestry budget, this sort of tops off my
day.
We don't care what he says. Let's just vote.
And you also started the discussion off by respecting something in the morning, which relates to something out tonight that I don't want to go into with this bill. So this is Senate Bill 740, establishing a recycling program for certain electronic products, including televisions and computer monitors. The bill directs the Department of Environmental Quality to select an entity to manage the electronic product stewardship program through a request for proposal process. The program would be funded with an advanced recycling fee to be paid upon purchase of a qualifying electronic product. These fees would be paid to the Department of Revenue and passed on to the operator of the recycling program. The bill appropriates $756,000 general fund to DEQ and $165,693 to the Department of Revenue for program startup costs. These monies will be repaid to the general fund from collected recycling fees by the end of the 05-07 biennium. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 740 be amended and report out due pass as amended. As the good chair has alluded to, there has been a little bit of discussion about this bill off and on through this building for the last several weeks. I agree with Senator Schreyer that this is one you should vote what you think is the best choice on. And at this point, I'm unsure of that vote. So it should be an interesting discussion and vote following the discussion.
There have been many, many good points made on both sides. Senator Johnson.
I'm missing an important piece of information that would help inform my vote on this. Again, this is a bill that I wish we were working on harder someplace other than a straight up and down vote here. I just am not convinced this bill is ready for prime time yet. There are some very serious values conflicted on each side of it. First of all, we do have a recycling problem. I'm one of the many Oregonians, I'm sure, that has a room full of dead computers that I'm not quite sure what to do with, and you end up boxing them up and sending them down to Free Geek in Portland with a check attached to them to assuage your conscience for what to do with them. So it clearly is a problem. Conversely, on the other side of that problem, you have a reliable and valued corporate citizen in Oregon who seems to be not being very well recognized or rewarded for their pioneering efforts in recycling. And I think that it is not very noble of this institution to look at HP and say, thanks for everything you do in our communities. Thank you for your corporate contributions to our community events. Thank you for your leadership on all kinds of important statewide issues. But we don't value your contributions, and we're slapping you with legislation that, in fact, seems punitive. The piece of information that I don't have is how this program will affect the state in terms of our Smart Buy program and the number of computers that are acquired by the state of Oregon and the additional fiscal attached to that whole discussion. I would fervently hope that there would be some enthusiasm, and in the scenario that you've set up, Mr. Chair, I don't think that exists, but that there would be some enthusiasm to take this out someplace and work on it a little harder.
That ain't going to happen, Senator. We're voting this bill up or down, so I appreciate that call for discussion, but that ain't going to happen.
Okay, well, I still don't have an answer to the Smart Buy question, which I think is an important piece of information to know the fiscal impact on the state of Oregon.
Excuse me, let's recognize staff first. Mr. Swinder.
I think Paul was staff for this, and I believe he had to leave the building. So we'll have to get an answer to you later. I don't think you're going to get an answer to that in this meeting, and I don't know that that information is actually currently exists to answer it.
Could you give us a range, like it's bigger than a bread box? I mean, all the computers that float around this state, it cannot be an insignificant amount.
I couldn't.
Okay.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also torn by this legislation. You know, I have talked to a couple of members about whether there could have been an exemption for Hewlett-Packard in terms of not particularly just directly at Hewlett-Packard, but simply for entities that for entities that had their own program.
I'm putting mine in my ears.
But I did want to add something to this, and not just a tone of you know, Senator Johnson's comments about a garage full of computers. I could be one of those clear cases, and that might be, in a sense, a facetious conflict of interest in this, because I've got a group of PCs at home in garages and various other locations. Some of them I don't know whether to donate them to a museum or take them to be disposed of. But I think this bill will make it a lot easier for people to make those decisions. Plus, I've got a son that brought home a number of televisions that he bought for very low cost at college that I would like to actually find a home for. So I may have a real conflict of interest here. I wish there had been, though, the exemption seriously for entities that have their own basic programs to take back their equipment, and that could have been recognized. I understand that was attempted but was rejected. But I will vote for the legislation here today.
Thank you. Senator Morris and Senator Bates.
Use my...
And Senator Gordley. Senator Morris, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm not sure you're going to vote on this.
Well, we're trying to get him to be the carrier, Mr. Chair.
Not likely. It has been expressed to me, if my memory is correct, that, in fact, Hewlett-Packard will accept other brands in their recycling program. So for those that do have computers, that they will be accepted. And I see a nodding back there to affirm that. So I just, to have a bill come that is so punitive to one of Oregon's most premier companies that has been progressive, it's a bill that I can't support. I support recycling, but not in this form, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Senator Bates.
Just to be as clear as I can on the record, which is not easy, Hewlett-Packard and Dell were, and possibly Gateway, were actually exempted out of this bill by an amendment we offered, and felt that they didn't want that amendment in here. They wanted to have a straight-up discussion of this, which I appreciate their honesty on. And they do have a recycling program. So those programs are a little difficult to go with. You've got to send the piece in. You've got to box it up, send it in, and pay money to do so. But they have been excellent corporate partners in doing this and taking care of these pieces. And occasionally, from time to time, they actually have special programs in the state when they have drop-off centers around the state to take care of this, too. I think the public isn't widely aware of that. I don't think they have, from what I've been told, they have the capacity to take all this on. We also have a legacy problem with old TV sets that have been piling up since the 1950s in various places in the state, I'm sure. And we have no really good program for taking care of the TV sets. So there's lots of issues here. Obviously, there's no clear answer. We're all being pushed and pulled in different directions on this. I really have respect for both sides of this argument. My overriding view is that we have a serious problem. We're not the only state that has it, and that we can mix and match in a way we want to, but people have to have a simple way of getting these devices turned back in. Right now they don't. They're going into landfills, which is inappropriate. They need to go and be recycled and then disposed of properly when they're not recycled.
Thank you. Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. According to the summary of Senate subcommittee action on Senate Bill 740, and I'm looking at page 2, in addition to establishing an advanced recycling fee, Senate Bill 740 directs DEQ to use the request for proposal process to select an entity that would manage the electronic product stewardship program. And then it goes on to say that DEQ would appoint an advisory committee to assist in drafting the RFP, et cetera. My question goes to who is waiting out there to get a piece of the contracting business from DEQ? What has been that discussion, and how much are we talking about in terms of dollars and cents?
We'll get staff to address the dollars and cents. I don't know if anyone in the gallery has an answer to the first part of Senator Gorley's question.
Having not staffed the bill nor being in committee, I hadn't also talked to the policy staff committee, so I couldn't answer on policy.
Well, to get Mr. Dewey to come forward, then. Would that be okay, Senator?
Partially.
Okay.
That would be
Sort of like this whole bill. He's someone else in mind, so you all want to talk to.
Please, let me hear what he has to say on
sure.
the record. Mayhem.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Senator Gordley. I represent Mike Dewey for the record, Waste Management. They have a subsidiary, which is Recycle America, and I believe it's the largest recycler in the world because they are global. We have an interest in this bill because we believe we would be able to participate in this particular program. We might be a prime contractor. We might be a subcontractor. We don't know because we don't know what the rules would look like. But we would like to work with the recyclers, Hewlett-Packard and the others, to develop the best rules possible. In part, as I look at Senator Nelson over here, part of it would be that you'd have a different infrastructure for rural Oregon because you have different issues over there. But for Waste Management, we think there's an opportunity. Is there a business opportunity? Yes. But I'm sure that there would be others that would also, depending on what the RFP looks like, would want to look at this. Recyclers would clearly be involved in this. It would be the nonprofits, the Goodwills of the world, and others that would have an opportunity to look at this. They're not taking them now. I would just say we have the garbage contract, if you will, in Palm Springs, and the California model is now working. This is a more private model than the California model, but we are going, literally, the company is going door-to-door to pick up TVs. Without the program in California, you could not do that. It would not make any sense. What we like, though, is building the infrastructure. We have a processing center in Phoenix. We'd like to open something up in the Northwest. We think that's good for the economy. But you have to have the infrastructure to do that, and that bill does it. So to answer your question, Waste Management might be interested mm-hmm. in this. We'd be hopefully at the table.
Thank you, Mr. Dewey. An additional question. One, I'd like to hear something more about the process, just the public process that this bill went through prior to arriving here. How many hearings? What was the public testimony, pro, con? I'm just having a sense of uneasy with where we are. Someone earlier said not ready for prime time. I'm kind of feeling that way, and I need to hear something more about what the public process has been up to this point.
If I may,
Mr. Dewey.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gordley, this is to my memory. There was an informational meeting, prior to the legislature convening, there was a piece of legislation that passed in the last session creating a task force to specifically look at this. And that task force met for at least, I think, 10 months, had probably 9 or 10 meetings, very well attended. I will say that they did not come up with a solution. They were split on the best solution. So Representative Dingfelder thought it might be advantageous to have this conversation because clearly there's not going to be a national solution forthcoming, and we deal with that in the legislation if there is. The bill was sent to the Environment and Energy Committee in the Senate. There was an informational hearing, as I recollect, and then there was a public hearing. It came out of that particular hearing committee, was sent to the Budget Committee. Senator Bates and his committee had that, and there was a hearing there. So I think there was enough discussion, if you will, about the proponents and where they came from and the opposition.
Very good.
Clearly, it's a, I think, that was a pretty good vetted process.
What I'd like to do, if it's okay with the panel, is, you know, we've given Mr. Dewey an opportunity to talk a little bit, get Mr. Cosgrove, if that's okay with him, to come up and talk a little bit. Then I'd remind the committee, we're basically talking about the fiscal aspects here.
Yes.
I mean, we're not the policy committee. Our job is to vote on the fiscal aspects. Certainly, thank you, Mr. Dewey. Our comments and our vote will be colored by our philosophy about the policy of the bill. But I'd rather not get in a big discussion. This will be our last person coming up to chat very briefly about the same issues, hopefully, and give their perspective so that this committee has a balanced view. Mr. Cosgrove.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul Cosgrove representing Hewlett-Packard. And I think Mr. Dewey accurately reflected the public process, and I would reiterate that the committee that met for interminable hours, and I say that advisedly, it was a number of all-day meetings, did not come to this conclusion. In fact, the plurality, although there was no majority, was for a different, in fact, to let the current system continue to work. With respect to the fiscal issues, I apologize for not figuring out early enough to get Mr. Petty, Dugan Petty from Administrative Services or someone else here to be able to tell you what the impact is on Smart Buy. I'm not sure I can hazard a guess either. I just know that the state in its Smart Buy contract in Hewlett-Packard was one of the successful bidders on that contract, but not the only one, is expected to be a large contract. The state buys a lot of desktops and a lot of laptops. I would expect many, if not nearly all, of the state employees have a desktop or a laptop at this day and age, and that's getting to be, I think, more likely to be true. But I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly what that impact is. Obviously, that's also an impact on local governments, because local governments would be paying that fee. The one other thing with respect to the fiscal issues that I would highlight is the staff measure summary that I had seen when this was in the subcommittee, and it may be the same one that you're seeing, although I don't have it in front of me right now, mentioned specifically that Department of Environmental Quality doesn't know whether this $13 million, which is what the estimate is for 07-09 that would be collected, whether that will really be enough to address this problem. And part of the advisory committee's role was, at least in that report, was to determine whether a higher fee would be necessary in order to meet the goal. I know that those discussions are ongoing in California right now, where one of the proponents in California, the Silicon Valley Toxics Coalition, has been arguing, I understand, for an increase in the fee down there, which is, I believe, also 6, 8, 10 to 30 and 40, because of, in fact, the need, if you're going to literally do door-to-door collection like you do for paper products and all the other kinds of things we recycle at curbside, it's a very expensive process to do. There are other policy issues, but I recognize, and the chair has asked me to stick to the fiscal issues, and I will try to.
Ms. Brandis, do you have something?
Ms. Chair, members of the committee, just for the record, Julie Brandis with Associated Oregon Industries. As you know, we represent the nation's largest retailers. Our comments on the record were less about collection of the tax or the fee at point of sale, but more about how you actually create a product fee, where that product fee goes, and the accountability associated with it. And if you all might remember, Associated Oregon Industries was very active in the debate around the development of the Energy Trust of Oregon. Love it or hate it, we tried to create accountability within the statute so we knew where that money was going. And one of the arguments I've heard since the time of the passage of the Energy Trust of Oregon statutes associated with Senate Bill 1149 is that the legislature doesn't feel there's enough accountability back to them. Whether that be true or not, and our members don't necessarily feel that that is necessarily the case, we would argue that this has had much less discussion than the Energy Trust of Oregon has, and it's a very similar type of concept.
Very good. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Further discussion amongst the committee. We won't probably have no more witnesses. I think we all know enough to make our own decision. Senator Gordley?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, for me, the question is this an appropriate use of limited, and putting the emphasis on limited, general fund dollars? And I come down on a side that says it is not.
Very good. I will point out to the committee that the financing would allow this to be repaid at the end of the biennium, so no net loss, but I think the Senator makes a good point about there is no front cost.
I think that's her point.
Senator Johnson.
Well, and I guess I'll just say for the sake of emphasis, an unknown upfront cost in terms of the acquisition of state-owned computers and the effect that this will have. If it is the charge of the chair that we are to be rendering an opinion in our vote based on the fiscal aspects of this bill, setting aside the policy piece, I don't know how we can make a responsible vote absent such an important piece of information. And I would just reiterate, based on some of the comments made by Mr. Dewey and by Mr. Cosgrove, the attempt to reach consensus on some of the very weighty issues, how do you build the infrastructure, what are the description of the waste contract, all of the bits and pieces where the devil resides in the details, I think leaves a certain void of information that makes voting on this very complicated. So you've already said what you've said, and I'm not going to go up the hill again, but I just think we're missing a very important piece of fiscal information.
Fair comment. Further discussion. Senator Bates, round it out.
Just a last comment. This was a tough decision in the subcommittee. We had a lot of discussion about it. We tried to stay on focus as far as just the fiscal aspect of it and tried to stay off the policy, which is almost impossible to do with this kind of a bill. We did the best we could to do that. The question of the Smart Buyer Program and the cost of this to the state was not brought up at that point, either by public testimony or by LFO. I would point out that regardless of how you feel about that, that whoever is buying these computers and TV sets, somewhere along the line, somebody has to pay for the recycling of it or disposal of those units. And the state has the same responsibility as the rest of society does, maybe a greater one, that it has to lead the way. So you have to think twice about when you think we haven't got that information right now. I wish we had it. But even if we had that information, I would still be probably prone to think that's our responsibility. We're buying those computers. We have a responsibility to take care of them after we're through using them. And the state really has to lead the way in that sort of a situation. We have a responsibility to the environment of the state of Oregon.
Very good. Seeing no further discussion, the staff will call the roll on this one, I think.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Carter?
No.
Devlin?
Aye.
Cordley?
No.
Johnson?
With a vote explanation that we are missing a very important piece of fiscal information, no.
Morse?
No.
Nelson?
No.
Westland?
Aye.
Winters?
No.
Chair Schrader?
Aye. Doesn't pass.
Goes down.
Before we adjourn, we have one very happy piece of interest for our committee.
That's right.
Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to welcome back Jane and Ron Cease and the grandkids that we haven't seen in a long time and who has served this state quite well a number of years with Senator Ron Cease is both a professor at Portland State and a member of the House. We've been in the first class together in the House and the Senate, so we'd like to welcome you back, especially to those who don't know the Ceases.
Thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to have you attend our meager little committee hearing. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chair, may I add to that welcome? I do know that former Senator Jane Cease will be serving on the Public Commission on the Legislature.
Oh.
Together with Senator Morse and myself. The other legislative representatives are Debbie Boone, Representative Boone, and Representative Krieger. And look forward to that service with you.
Great. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you for all your hard work. I mean, it was a tough vote. Thank you for indulging us. Great.